about a new baby, about a new girl. A fashion plate baby, he's got me in a whirl. A new kind of love, yeah, don't make me asleep. Sweet little dove, yeah, it's all that I crave. Swedish miss with the kids full of best cameras and somehow tells me that bushy boss naughty ass mess around. I'm fine, what happened about a new baby, about a new girl, about a new baby, about a new girl.
Good morning and welcome to episode 124 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I am David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for coming around. Thank you for giving us a listen. As always, we're here to talk some basketball. We're going to focus a little bit on the EuroLeague today, a little bit on Turkish basketball, and have a nice chat with a listener. We'll get to that in just 1 second. Let me just kind of take care of the housekeeping. You can follow us on the Facebook in the Facebook group. It's called Taking the Charge. Just go ahead and ask to be let into our group, and we will obviously welcome you past the pearly gates into the group. I am on Twitter at Hein News, HEINNEWS, and the email address is heinnews@gmx.de. Feel free to drop me a line, anything. Love to hear from you. Obviously, the website is heinnews.com. There's also iTunes. So if you go to iTunes, give us a review, rate us. That helps in various ways. Please do that. We don't have many reviews, so it'd be great to have one or two out there, just so that people who find the show, stumble upon the show, if you will, have an idea of what they can expect. Okay, so let's just get right into the interview. I had a chance to talk to James Granahan, and those who are in the Facebook group know the name quite well. He is he's one of the main contributors to the Facebook group in our chats there, and he was looking to go to a EuroLeague basketball game in Istanbul, and so I helped organize that, and he did an interview for the show. And we're gonna run that interview during the interview with James, and that is with Anadolu Efes, young Turkish talent, Furkan Korkmaz. Obviously, he's kind of a personal cheese ball of mine since last summer, watching him at the under-18 European Championship, and just seeing him really develop at the even at the EuroLeague level this summer, this season. So here is, I guess you can call it an interview within an interview, but definitely both James Granahan and then Furkan Korkmaz. So enjoy, and we'll catch you on the other side. Okay, so this week on the show, we have, I'd say, probably one of Taking the Charge's original fans, James Granahan. James, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
So looking at the email back on June 17th, 2003. So it's about 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. You wrote in and we're looking to find out how we can watch actually some domestic games, in general. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe first let's start off with how you kind of got how you heard about the show, mm-hmm. and I guess thoughts about the show.
That's a good question. I actually can't remember exactly how I found the show. I think it was generally just kind of googling around and looking for for websites and for podcasts in particular that were focusing on European basketball. There's not really too many in the English language anyway, but stumbled upon Taking the Charge and really enjoyed it. And I've been a regular listener ever since.
Yeah, James obviously is also a very, very good contributor to the Facebook group. So definitely, if you come in, you'll definitely be hearing from James, along with a lot of stuff from Vince and also from Robert, the new man on the block.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said in the introduction, we had you go to a basketball game in we didn't have you go to a game. You said that you were interested in going to a game in Istanbul. Mm-hmm. And you said you wanted to go to the FS CSKA Moscow game, and we helped you get in and did an interview for us. Why don't we just first talk about your thoughts about that game, FS against CSKA Moscow, this being roughly 2 weeks ago. I think it was the 15th of January.
It was around then, yeah, week three, I believe, of the top 16, and really good game. I think it was fascinating because what we saw was two teams kind of at different points in their development. You know, CSKA obviously have been there in the Final Four over the last couple of years, and that's a team that has one goal, which is to win every competition they're in, whereas FS obviously is a young team and they're kind of developing something at the moment. But that made it really interesting. It was the best offense in EuroLeague at the time, at least, against the second best defense. And it was a really fascinating game. It was right down to the wire. It was pretty close, and FS did manage to hang in there. And really, it was just the last 2 minutes or so that CSKA managed to pull away. But I think there was a lot that FS can take from that game in terms of their development going forward, and it's going to be interesting to see now if they can use the wins they've got so far in a performance like that against a top team to push on and claim a place in the playoffs.
Before we recorded, we kind of talked about there was an instance there where there was a unsportsmanlike or something like that, and they converted as well after that. CSKA did, and we're kind of able to put together a quick group of points. It seems to me that I watched the FS Real Madrid game. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks before that, and Madrid really just, you know, hit like four or five threes in a row and just, you know, were able to pull away. And it just seems to me that, and this is one of the things that I said at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. Looking at the FS team, is that they seem to lack a lot of firepower offensively. And I think that unless they kind of almost play a perfect game defensively, and then just kind of, you know, maybe get a lucky shot at the end, that you know, any team that really has the ability to put together, let's say, 8-10 points, 12 points within a 2-3 minute stretch, you know, those are the teams that could probably that could beat FS. No,
yeah, for sure. And I think that's what killed them in this game. I mean, it was stages. FS played a great first quarter, and the defense was really top notch. I think they held CSKA to only 8 points in the first quarter.
11, yeah.
11, sorry, yeah. But then it was, you know, it was the second quarter where CSKA started to kind of figure out find some of the chinks in the FS defense. And when CSKA could put together those runs, FS didn't have the firepower offensively to break it up. You know, they'd give up 8 or 10 points straight, and they didn't have that ability to go down and be able to kind of break that run with, you know, someone they could throw it into the post to and get 2 points, and they did struggle to score in that sense. So I definitely think that's something that the better teams will take advantage of.
Let's go a little bit into Moscow, because, you know, that's a team that really, you know, I had them, I picked them to win it at the beginning, even though Coach Atudos is new in Moscow. But, you know, I mean, this is a team that really hasn't fully played totally together yet. You know, Hirapa hasn't played at all this season. Marcus Vili was out quite a bit. Teodosic missed a couple games. Talk about this team. What do you think? I mean, you know, Nando De Colo is really has really stepped it up to just an amazing level over the last 2-3 weeks. And you know, you have a bigs rotation. You know, someone I think it was Robert in the Facebook group came up with the stat that Sasha Cowan was hitting 70% from the field for his career. Which is insane. But what do you think about this team?
They just look really unstoppable at the moment. Obviously, still unbeaten. And, you know, when you look at this Group F, it's hard to see who can beat them in there. You know, maybe Olympiakos can give them a run. And obviously, Fenerbahce took them to overtime there a few weeks ago. But I think FS strength is they're just so deep everywhere. And they have guys who know how to fill their roles. You know, it's amazing that Cowan is shooting 70% for his career. But I think
his career.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't just a 10-game stretch or 12-game stretch. This is dating
back
over
seasons. Take that, LeBron, right?
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's an insane number. But I think maybe part of the reason for that and why he can be so efficient is that they have so many options, so that if you're a defense and you're trying to cover off guys like Jackson, Teodosic, and De Colo on the perimeter.
And even
you're
Weems,
always leaving
Weems.
Someone open. And Weems as well. Yeah, Weems actually was injured for this game, I believe, sat out. But, you know, he's a guy who as well who can light it up. And when these players are drawing extra defenders, Šeško seemed to have the role players who are able to step up and make the open looks. Guys like Cowan and Varnsevich, and I think that's what's really scary about Šeško. They're just so deep across the board.
Yeah, everywhere, you know. Wings, guards, bigs.
Yeah, and at least right now they're playing with a little bit more consistency and more of a team ethos than Madrid or Barcelona, for example, who are also very deep but have had their struggles in terms of consistency.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Teodosic that he seems to just have taken everything that he sort of learned from Djordjevic with the national team, and has just taken that to the next level in the EuroLeague. That, you know, there's just this calm. I mean, everybody knew how great he was, but you know, there was this feeling like, oh, you know, you never know when he's going to explode or implode or whatever. So.
For sure, and I think De Colo, you know, getting adjusted there and taking a bigger role helps too, because Teodosic maybe has to, he doesn't handle the ball quite as much, but he picks his spots a little bit more, but he's been really efficient in doing so, and he's played like more of a calming presence this year than in other years, where he sometimes didn't know what to expect.
De Colo had 12 fouls drawn
in
that game against Efes.
It was crazy. He just seemed to get to the line over and over again, and that was one of the things really that started to kill Efes in the second half, because their defense was very kind of high pressure the ball and try and force turnovers, and in the second half that started to translate into fouls, which really cost them when they were in the penalty.
Yeah, so that's Draper 4 fouls, Huerta 4 fouls, the two point guards trying to stop De Colo. Let's move to Efes. You know, the guy that we all love is sort of Saric. You know, he was drafted. There was talk maybe he'd go, maybe he'd stay, and then he got, you know, it was you know, actually before the draft, there, you know, Efes got, you know, went and picked him up and signed him to the multi-year deal. And it seems to me that he's probably learned more than he would had he been over in, you know, playing for Philadelphia. You know, just the fact that he's you know, being able to take on a real leadership role, much more than he was at the with the Croatian national team, even though he's only 20, which is still insane. Mm. Thoughts about Saric? Really just a steady guy who really doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, for sure. He's a guy who just can do pretty much everything when he's out there. And, you know, FS does have some talent on this roster. They've got a, but they're not as deep as the top teams in EuroLeague, and that makes them very dependent on Saric, I think, at times. When he's not on the floor, you do find yourself wondering how they're going to score. So they're quite reliant on him in that sense. But I was also really impressed in this game by, you know, the way when Šeška did have a run on them and were up by kind of 7 or 8 points near the end of the third quarter and it looked like it might get away, Saric came, checked back into the game, and he was able to, you know, to demand the ball and get close to the rim and get some points and kind of drag the team back into it, which was, you know, for a 20-year-old guy playing in EuroLeague and leading his team, I thought that was really, really impressive. And for sure, I think it's better for his development, you know, learning and playing in that role than being in the NBA now on a losing team that's really struggling and just getting beaten night in and night out.
Another guy that we saw quite a bit of this summer was Shadi Osman, who helped Turkey win the U20 European Championship, and then I think to a lot of people, you know, was a surprise that they end up that Adaman did end up taking him to the World Cup. You know, he had a, you know, solid, you know, numbers wise game: 6 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. But this is a still a youngster, 19, probably turned 20 sometime this year. Thoughts about him and how he was able to play against really, you know, the top level of European opponents.
I think you hit the nail on the head there in terms of saying, you know, he's playing against the top level of European opponents, and he didn't look out of his depth at all. He looked like he should be there, and he was able to make a contribution. And you know, right now he's one of the key guys, I think, in a way for Efes, because when Osman has big nights and he's shooting well, it does help open up their offense that little bit more. And you know, he's a really valuable player in that sense. Obviously, he's still got a lot to learn, but you know, again, to look at, you know, Saric is 20, Osman, you say, is 19, and Korkmaz is 17. He's also getting some time in the rotation. To have such young players, you know, at the core of a EuroLeague team is really impressive, and you know, you have to imagine that it's going to stand to them later on this season in the Turkish League playoffs, and also next year in EuroLeague if they can keep the team together.
You brought him up, you know, like we said, you ended up going to the game, and he was one of the guys that I'll go there, I'll say personal cheese ball, you know, it was just totally, you know, fell for him at the, seeing him for the first time at the U18s. We had you have a talk with him. Why don't we run that interview just to let you know ahead of time. Korkmaz was unable to speak English. I think it was a little because of the Irish accent of Mr. Granahan.
Possibly.
So I think he was scared. Said, you know, he hears all of this American in English, and then here comes James and says, oh, I don't know if I can understand this guy. Maybe might be better to have a translator there. So here's James's talk after the game through an interpreter. So we'll catch you on the other side of that.
Okay, I'm here with Furkan Korkmaz of Anadolu Efes Istanbul after Efes game with CSKA Moscow in the EuroLeague Top 16. Thanks for speaking to me, Furkan. First of all, I'd just like to ask you about tonight's game. Obviously, a very disappointing loss. What are your thoughts on the game and the team moving forward in Top 16?
Bu mağlubiyetten sonra zor geçen bir maçın ardından neler düşünüyorsun?
Zaten zor bir maç olacağını biliyorduk. CSKA şu anda Avrupa'nın en iyi takımı durumunda EuroLeague'de.
We already knew it's gonna be a tough match, and CSKA Moscow is the one of the best team, maybe the best team in Europe right now.
Maça çok iyi hazırlandık ama istediklerimizi sahaya yansıtamadık. Bölüm bölüm yansıttık. CSKA da çok tecrübeli bir takım. bizim yaptığımız hataları cezalandırarak maçı kaybettik de basit hataları.
We prepared well before the game, but unfortunately we didn't show this reaction on the court. CSKA Moscow has a lot of experienced players, and we lost the game with our maybe unexpected failures.
Obviously, it's rare for such a young player to be playing important minutes in EuroLeague games. Tell me a little bit about what that is like playing in EuroLeague games at such a young age, and particularly guarding a guy like Nando De Colo tonight, who's played at the highest level.
Senin gibi genç oyuncuların EuroLeague'de süre bulması çok nadir karşılaşılan bir durum. Bu seviyede basketbol oynamak senin için neler ifade ediyor ve özellikle bugün sahada Nanda Tekoğlu ve Teodosic gibi önemli oyuncuları savundun. Bu konu hakkında ne düşünüyorsun?
Ben öncelikle benim burada oynamamın en başta sebeplerinden biri koçun bana güvenmesi. Nanda Tekoğlu ve Teodosic çok büyük, çok tecrübeli oyuncular. Biz de bunu bilerek onun karşısında işte savunma yapmaya çalışıyoruz. Benim için zor oluyor çünkü onların tecrübesine sahip değilim. Gün geçtikçe daha çok tecrübeleniyorum. Savunmada bugün aksadım diyebilirim ama savunmadaki eksiklerimi kapatmak için de üzerinde duruyorum, kafayı yoruyorum.
Well, the first reason is Dusko Ivković, our coach, because he believes me and with his help and with his confidence that he gave to me, now I am playing on the court. It's so hard to play in that level right now for me because I am not as experienced as Nanda Tekoğlu and players like Teodosic. But day by day I am trying to improve my skills and level experience. I'm playing. I'm training hard and trying to be a good player like as them.
You talk about the challenge of playing at such a young age against these players. What's it like to have a guy like Jedi Osman on the team, who's a couple of years older than you, and has maybe shared some of those experiences? Can you learn from him?
Takımda senin gibi genç oyuncu, aynı zamanda Cedi Osman var. Onun gibi bir oyuncuyla oynamak senin için neler ifade ediyor? Senden sadece birkaç yaş küçük ama neler hissediyorsun?
Yani bir kere Cedi ile çok iyi bir arkadaşım sağ dışında. Cedi'den olabildiğince faydalanmaya çalışıyorum. O çünkü 2 senedir burada, bu seviyede oynuyor. Bana da tecrübelerini aktarmaya çalışıyor. Ben de olabildiğince ona sorup ondan destek almaya çalışıyorum. Benim için de güzel bir örnek var Cedi.
Jedi is my good friend also out of the court. We are always talking with him, and he tells about his experience because he's 2 years experienced than me. He plays in A team, in first team, last 2 years. We have a good friendship with him, and I'm happy to play with him.
Okay, I know it's still the middle of the season, but I just wanted to ask you briefly about the Turkish national team. I know you're eligible to play for the U18 and U19 teams this summer. Have you thought about your plans and whether you hope to play for those teams in the summer?
Henüz belki konuşmak için erken ama sezonun ortasındayız. Milli takımda, alt takımda oynamak hakkında neler düşünüyorsun? Alt takımlarda çünkü ne kadar iyi bir performans sergilediğini biliyoruz ve bu seviyede oynamaya hak ettiğini düşünüyorum. Peki sen ne düşünüyorsun?
Amir takım için bahsediyorum.
Evet.
Amir takım için bu benim hayallerimden biriydi zaten. Şu anda da burada EuroLeague'de oynuyorum. Çok çalışarak orada da forma şansı bulmak istiyorum tabii ki. Oraya gidip eğer çağrılırsam da elimden gelen her şeyin en iyisini yapıp sahaya yansıtmaya çalışacağım orada.
This is one of my dreams to play in the highest level in the national team. I'm training as hard as I can do and I'm trying to best.
Okay, and do you have any goal in your mind for when you'd like to be in the national team? Is the Olympics a goal of yours or even Eurobasket?
Peki milli takıma yükseldiğinde senin için bir hedefin var mı? En büyük hedefin ne? Olimpiyatlar mı yoksa Avrupa
Yani öncelikle çok güzel bir jenerasyon yakaladık 94, 95, 96, 97 jenerasyon olarak. Bu jenerasyonu olimpiyatlarda görüp işte olimpiyatlarda ilk 3, ilk 2 oynamak hedefim.
We have a good generation, young generation in Turkish national team right now. The team is going to cover it with such a talented young players. My goal is to have medal in Olympic Games.
Okay, and obviously, if you're playing with the underage teams, you've been playing a limited role with FS, where you're learning from more experienced players. Would you relish the prospect of being a leader yourself on some of these underage teams in the summer?
FS gibi bir takımda oynuyorsun ve diğer alt kategorilerdeki takımlarda oynadığın zaman bu FS'te oynadığın için tecrübelerin orada liderlik gibi bir vasıf görüyor musun kendinde ya da yapmak istiyor musun?
Yani tabii ki bundan önce altyapı takımlarında oynarken de sürekli sorumluluk alan kişiydim diyebilirim. Yani. Sorumluluk almaktan kaçmıyorum. Tabii ki buradaki tecrübelerimi de alt takımlarda veya kendi yaş grubunda oynadığım takımlarda yansıtmak isterim sahaya. Bunun için de o sorumluluğu alabilirim.
I was always taking responsibility in the team, in the yacht national teams. I'm not running away from that. I always want to take responsibility in teams which I am playing right.
Okay. Thanks very much, Furkan. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right, so obviously I saw him in a much bigger role at the U18s, and that changed a lot over the course of that tournament. You saw him, 17. You have to think about 17 playing decent minutes at the EuroLeague. There's not really many guys that come to mind when you say that. I mean, there's Ricky Rubio. You could probably put in Enes Kanter before he went to try to play for Kentucky. So you saw him firsthand. Thoughts about him?
Yeah, I was really impressed. I think he didn't. It didn't show up in the box score in this particular game, and the stats weren't there. But what impressed me was the composure he showed for such a young guy playing in a EuroLeague game. He didn't look out of place at all. And I also thought it was really interesting that, he's getting decent minutes, not huge minutes, but when he's on the floor, Coach Duda seems to trust him and, is letting him get involved. For the first half he defended DiColo when he was in, and the second half they trusted him to guard Aaron Jackson. So, obviously that's a big ask of a guy who's 17 years old. Defensively to come in and guard those guys, but he came in and he did a good job. And on offense as well. Again, he didn't get too involved on the offensive end, but in the few minutes he was in, I thought it was interesting that they did try and run him off a couple of screens and get him open for some 3-point looks. They didn't actually manage to really run those plays successfully in the end, but I did think it was interesting that coach trusts him enough to call his number at least a little bit when he's in the game. He's not just filling minutes. He genuinely has a role to play.
We've seen what Duda Coach Ivkovic has done for the young Serbs. With the national team. It's kind of hard for you to tell, but what do you think of how much impact he's been able to have on Kerkmaz? Also you really have to say Osman as well. How much were you able to watching him and his interaction with coach and whatnot? What do you think about the interaction and what he's able to get from Coach Ivkovic?
The impression I got was that these younger players are being given the impression that if they work hard and they keep at it, that they will be given the opportunities. And I think that's probably one of the keys to it, is that, they're working hard in practice every day, but they know they're going to get the opportunities in the games to actually, to show some of what they've been learning and test themselves against the elite competition that maybe you wouldn't get at other clubs. So I think that's something that's a real motivator for these guys, and I think it helps them that they see that coach has that kind of confidence in them even at such a young age to play in these big games.
And I mean, you know, you almost have to give them as much as they can now, because you know they need to have the Turkish players, and you know Saric, you know, I mean, my guess is he would be gone next year. Mm-hmm. So you lose a major leader. Obviously, you know, you're giving your young kids some big time minutes, and you're seeing what they can do. You know, this is the first year of the FS project with Ivkovic, so he'll be able to change up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you have Huerta now in there, and so I mean, it seems to me like this is a team that really is, you know, at least a year away. I mean, you lose you're going to lose, I think, Saric, but you know. Do you see them competing for that to get one of the top spots, you know, the top four for the quarterfinals? What do you think?
In EuroLeague, I think they're going to be thereabouts. I mean, looking at the group, I think it's fair to say we'll probably expect CSKA and Olympiakos to be the two front runners there. But after that, the next two places are pretty open. You know, Fenerbahce have been pretty impressive so far this season. But, you know, Nizhny Novgorod are surprising a few people too, and Milan seem to be getting things together. So it's really so hard to know. The top 16 is so long too. I mean, there's 10 games left, that even Malaga, who's 0-4 so far, if they can bring some of the form they've shown in the Spanish domestic league to EuroLeague, I mean, they've been really playing really well domestically. They've beaten Real Madrid, and they're top of that league. So if they could bring that form, they're going to be really dangerous too. So I think FS will be there or thereabouts. Whether they get in or not, it's going to be close. I think they might just edge it, but it's going to go down to the last game or two, I think.
It seems to me, though, that they have a legitimate chance to maybe reach to maybe play in the finals. They're in the three-way tie with Fenerbahce and Darshvaka and so on. What do you think in the Turkish league?
Yeah, definitely in the Turkish league, I think those three teams do seem to be head and shoulders above the rest. I mean, obviously it's a very competitive league, but you know, as we've seen at times this year in EuroLeague as well, Galatasaray have seemed to have taken a step back. They've become even more dependent on Arroyo to kind of take the game by the scruff of the neck. But you really never know in Turkey. I mean, we've seen how good Banvit have been in the regular season over the last few years, and Karşıyaka, and you know, all it takes is round one, where you have the series are only three games. All it takes is you lose one game, and all of a sudden you're under big pressure against one of those teams if you do play them on the road.
Yeah. Actually, let's go back to Korkmaz, because that's one of the things I wanted to actually talk to you about, was your thoughts about the summer. He seemed to kind of, you know, dodge the question a little bit. You know, there's the U18 European Championship. There's talk that he would maybe be an option for the senior national team as a shooter guy from the wing. And then there's the U19s, where I think that Turkey are probably would be a serious medal contender if he was there as well. What is your feeling of I mean, maybe also, you know, I mean, we didn't see the look on his face. Was he kind of disgusted? Not disgusted, but was he kind of like, oh man, you know, this is a big thing that we're all trying to figure out, or what was his facial expression when you brought that up?
Yeah, my impression was that you know, the national team isn't his focus at the moment, for sure. You know, he's seemed very focused on this FS season and trying to, you know, continue to make an impact there and earn more minutes in the rotation, I'm sure, too. But I get a sense, too, that, you know, he's quite unsure about the summer. I think he knows, obviously, he's most likely going to play on some of these national teams, but in terms of which ones he'll play on yet, I'm not sure he knows. I'm sure he'd love to play on the senior national team, but I guess that one is the one that's non-guaranteed. You know what I mean? If he wants a place on the U18s or the U19s, it's going to be there for him. You know, I think we will likely see him invited to the training camp anyway, and, you know, be part of that experience. But I think for Turkey too, it's a big decision because he will be a leader on either the U18s or the U19s teams. And, for a country like Turkey that's developing a basketball tradition, being able to compete for medals at these tournaments is a big, big deal. And it can really help to encourage, you know, kids to start playing the game and to grow the game in terms of popularity. So, you know, they haven't been in the U19 World Championship in a few years. I think there's a fair chance he will play there, and then maybe they'll see how it plays out in the rest of the summer, depending on how long FS go in the playoffs, etc.
I think that's probably the biggest one is that you really need to see how long they go. I mean, do you know when? Can you remember when that game 7 that didn't take place? When that was?
I'll just check now. I think it was June 16th, something like that.
Yeah, so
it was the middle of June, anyway.
Yeah, so June 16th. Let's just say that's what it was. You know, June 27th is the start of the U19 Worlds. And then you have on July 23rd, the U18s. If maybe he's too late. You know, maybe if they reach the finals and it goes deep into the series, you know, maybe he's too late to even make it to the U19 camp, and then he just, you know, goes with the senior national team for a couple weeks, doesn't make the team, and then heads over to the U18s. I mean, you know, but the thing is with the U19s is actually a team he knows because he played with them last year at the U18s. So, you know, I mean, it's most likely going to be the same coach, Urtica. So it's going to, you know, I think given his health, given he remains healthy, I think it's really going to be dependent on the timing of training camps and how far FS come. And I think that, you know, if they can avoid Darovshaka and Fenerbahce until the finals, I think they can probably comfortably make the finals. If they are one and the other two are two and three, I think they have a serious chance. If you're a betting man, I would put money down that they reach the finals.
For sure, and I mean it's very hard to not see them at least making the semifinals, and they're not gonna go out in three games most likely, you know. So, you know, regardless, even if they were to lose to Fenerbahce or Darovshaka in a semifinal series, you're still looking at the beginning of June. So it's still a long season. But, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see. It'll be telling how much Korkmaz plays in the playoffs. I don't know. Will the rotations change much at all? And can we expect him to see him getting his 14, 15 minutes in the playoffs? Or is that something that FS will look to tighten up the rotation slightly?
Yeah, another good point. All right, let's sort of close it slowly but surely. The call out in the Facebook group is I think they've fallen in love with this expression personal cheese ball that came up in the Christoph Ney interview last week. So give us a couple of your personal cheese balls.
Yes, so one of the one of my favorites to watch is definitely Marcelino Huertas, a guy I really enjoy because he can just pull a moment of magic out of nowhere, and he has quite a unique style of play, seems to always appear in the biggest moments. I remember watching the Barcelona beating Valencia in Game 5 of the ACB playoffs last year, when it looked like Barcelona were done for, and Huertas scored the winning basket at the buzzer to win the game, and they went on to win the domestic title. So he's a personal favorite for sure. Other than that, in terms of big men, I've always really enjoyed watching Pau Gasol. Just a guy that you can throw the ball into, and he's really got some skills in the post, and he always seems to find a way. you know, he's not an athletic guy, but he's able to find clever ways to score inside. So he's a guy I really, really enjoy watching too.
What do you think about him and Mirotić in Chicago? What do you think about their chances?
Yeah, really interesting. I mean, it's so hard to know in Chicago. They've been up and down, but if they can get the full team together and start playing defensively the way they played in the last few years, you know, then the addition of Gasol to boost their offense, and if Rose can stay healthy again, well, then they're going to be a really difficult team to beat. But it's wide open, I think, this year in the NBA, especially in the East with the Cavs struggling.
Yes. Well, it's been a hoot. Thanks for coming on. Maybe we might have you on in the future. You're destined to make a move, mm-hmm. heading down to South America.
Mm-hmm.
When is that going to happen?
That is the 10th of June.
10th of June. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll have you, and you're going to be going down to Buenos Aires, right?
That's right. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Maybe we'll have you do some. There's been cryouts for South American basketball. maybe just someone from the Facebook group needs to go, and then we can have them report on it.
Yeah, for sure. I must say, I'm looking forward to checking out the domestic league there and getting to watch a bit of that, and also obviously the FIBA Americas is on in the end of August, so that should be fun too, because a lot on the line with the qualification places for Rio next year.
Yeah, where do you know where those are?
They're actually in Mexico, unfortunately.
Okay, okay.
Uh-huh. But should be interesting for sure. I know the USA isn't there, but you've got Brazil, Argentina, and obviously Canada is looking pretty good lately. If they can get some of their NBA guys to
Puerto Rico, play, Dominican Republic.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good tournament.
Yeah, for sure. All right, James Scranahan, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave.
Enjoy listening to yourself on the show.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
Okay, fantastic stuff. Again, James, thanks for going to that game and getting that great interview. Korkmaz, I think the Turkish Federation has a big time decision this summer to figure out what they want to do with him, to see if they want to, you know, I think they're going to probably invite him to the national team camp. And but I can't really imagine he'll be in the team. I mean, you know, maybe he's just so great at training camp that Adama just has to take him. But you know, there's a lot at stake at both of those youth tournaments. You know, under 19s, they have a legitimate shot at a podium finish. And then if you look at the under 18s, you know, it's been since the Soviet Union, I think 82 or 84, I don't have it off the top of my head, was the last time there was a three-peat at the U18 level. And man, that's a pretty impressive perform. That would be a pretty impressive record to have, to go and get the Soviet Union actually won four in a row. But to actually go in there and get three in a row. So, then again, you know, I mean, they're seriously hoping to get, I think it's a top six finish. If you get in the top six, you are in the, you're in the Olympic or in the Olympic qualifying tournament. I'm pretty sure there's four spots that go to the Olympic qualifying tournament for Rio 2016. So, and a guy like Korkmaz on the wing as a shooter, as a guy who can drive, man, that'd be a nice little weapon to have. I think first of all, like we said at the end, you know, just hopefully he's healthy, and then just see, you know, see how he's feeling after a long season again of playing against adults, and then just see how he does in the training camp. If he just totally blows them away, and then, You know, maybe he does that, and everybody else, you know, the 18s and the 19 try to do what they are going to do without him. So, but we'll see. We'll see. It's definitely going to be something to watch over the next few months. We won't know till June. And so there's really not much we can do about it till then. Just enjoy watching him do his thing. So with that, I'm going to call it a show. And I'm going to let you, as always, let you know what you are listening. I went back to the underscore orchestra and found the great jazz tune. I Found a New Baby. That is off the album A Little Bit of Magic in Every Batch. If you want to go take a look at that, that is, of course, on freemusicarchive.org, as in all the music. Go check it out. Great stuff. I'm on there kind of regularly. It's a go-to if I want something. So enjoy the next week of hoops, and we will catch you next week. Again, thanks for listening to the show, and reach out and join the Facebook group. Talk to us. We'd love to hear from you.
Play, baby, he's got me in a whirl. A new kind of loving, don't make me a slave. Sweet little dubbing, it's all that I crave. Sweetest miss with the kiss, full of best cameras, and somehow tells me that bushy wise, naughty ass mess around. I vow what happened, found a new baby, found a new girl, found a new baby, I found a new girl. Love you. all that I crave. Swedish mist with a kiss full of bliss can't resist somehow. Tells me that's much wise, naughty house man's breath. About what, how I found a new baby. Found a new girl. Found a new baby. I found a new girl.